You know, the synagogue leader actually has a pretty good point. Jesus schools him. And our most common response is to vilify him as cold and heartless, more concerned with the letter of the law than with the well-being of this long-suffering woman. But I can't help but wonder if maybe he's teaching about the Sabbath with good intention. After all, it's a rule because it's meant to be a way of life for all people. Maybe he knows that when we make exceptions, they tend to snowball until the practice is rare and it becomes the exception rather than the rule. It's a slippery slope. Sabbath is meant as a way of life, born out of the goodness of creation. It's rooted in this sense that there's enough, that there's space, such abundance that God can rest, and we can also. And Sabbath is grounded in liberation, remembering that after the Israelites were brought out of slavery, out of oppression, still wandering in the wilderness, God offers them Sabbath. As scholar David Loess explains, this rest comes not as a command, but as good news to slaves who never, ever had a chance to rest. Indeed, the command and promise of rest was extended to all, rich or poor, adult or child, human or animal. Everyone needs a time to rest. And so God makes it a commandment to safeguard rest for all. Sabbath is good news. And I imagine the synagogue leader is trying to help his community live into it fully. I'm guessing that many of us, maybe most of us, know what happens when we add loopholes, one by one. Each one seeming reasonable and justified in the moment. And then all of a sudden we have no Sabbath at all, just this pile of loopholes. I've learned a good deal about Sabbath by observing a friend, an elder in the church. Through his stories, both what he says and what is left unsaid, in this hallowed space that he creates between himself and another, I've come to see how keeping Sabbath over many years can shape a person. My friend has a practice of sitting as a downbeat to his days, a morning sit and an afternoon sit on a rock, rain or shine, outside, noticing, paying attention, settling into creation. I don't know what's in his heart or on his mind, but it seems he cultivates silence there as he sits. As he settles into the stillness, the quiet, life draws particularly close. A doe and her fawns just feet away. Turkey chicks stroll by. He reminds himself what it feels like, what it smells like to sink his hands down into the dirt, remembering that this humus is reality. He notes the changing hour of the sunrise. It's hard for this kind of practice to shape us if it only happens once in a while. In part because it is so difficult for us to settle, to calm the chatter of the news feed in our brains if we don't practice. It's a tall order for Sabbath to unbind us and set us free when it is rare. I was struck by the image of Jesus talking back to the synagogue leader in this morning's gospel. Jesus sees this woman and recognizes that her need for healing is urgent, even or maybe especially after 18 years. And after being scolded, Jesus retorts that everyone unties their donkey and leads it to water on the Sabbath. I expect that he meant it quite literally. This is what they needed to do. But it caught my attention as a metaphor also. What if we made time to untie the most stubborn parts of ourselves? Those parts that may be great for getting the work done, but can also help us dig in our heels and full on refuse to go forward. What if we led those parts of ourselves to water? Cut loose our excuses, the things we hide behind as rationale for not keeping Sabbath. Let the donkey go. It's stubborn. It knows the same rut, the busyness, the frenetic stress. This path is well worn. What if we untied it, knowing that this healing Sabbath is how we were made? That this is supposed to be the shape of our days, the shape of our community, reaching back long before today's breakneck pressure and the mayhem and the constant pings and the news and all those requests that masquerade as our inescapable reality. This may swirl all around us, and yet we are called and empowered to step back, to slow down, to return in rest to the water. This friend of mine, this one who sits, he has followed his Sabbath to the water. He's followed it to Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota, where the water has come under attack. We have a particular bond with this community through our ongoing relationship with St. Elizabeth's Episcopal Church in Wakpala. It's where our high schoolers have gone many times for their immersion trip. And far away as it is, it's close to home at All Souls. The Army Corps of Engineers has authorized the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. It's a crude oil pipeline set to reach from North Dakota to Illinois. But our family on Standing Rock, they fear that the pipeline would degrade the sacred sites and their burial grounds, and that in crossing the Missouri River, the pipeline would threaten to contaminate their drinking water. And so, they have set up camp, blocking the construction. It is a prayerful, peaceful camp. Some have been arrested, not surprisingly, but they stay. And many, many, many more are coming from neighboring lands and tribes. They are coming together not as protesters, but as protectors. Protectors of the water, of sacred ground, of lives downstream, and of the treaties that ought to be protecting it all already. Construction has now been temporarily halted, but what lies ahead remains to be seen. It doesn't look to be simple or easy. With any rule, we must ask ourselves, is this bringing healing? Is it liberating the oppressed among us? Is it leading us into new life together? Jesus is leading us into discernment, asking us to pay attention to what and who is right in front of us. Yes, please, let's build Sabbath as our rhythm, our default, as the structure of our lives. And then, sometimes, we will be called to act, to work for healing in ways that are so liberating that, yes, of course, they are of Sabbath too. Jesus walks this rhythm, grounded in time apart, time spent listening. And then, on this particular day, he sees need that he cannot ignore. He recognizes this person as kin, as a daughter of Abraham. He sees that She has likely been kept on the outside of society's circle, unable to fully participate or chart her own way forward. And the time for healing is now. Sometimes this call cannot wait another day. Untie yourself. Be led to the water. Let the healing spill out into praise. The beauty of this dance lies in that careful balance of downbeat and discernment. Sabbath shapes who we are, what we see. It forms how we engage the world. I reached out to my friend, the one who sits, who notices, knowing that he had traveled to Standing Rock to join the spiritual camp. I asked him how we could help. How could all souls show up? What could we offer from afar? His response was simple. Our prayers are what they need most. Our prayers. I think he knows that action will follow if we offer prayer first. As their closer neighbors come, joining by horseback and on the water itself, we join them in prayer. I suspect my friend knows that if we don't start there, we may as well not start at all. He knows what it is to connect daily, to pause, to pay attention, to give himself to that way. That is where we are to begin. That is our guide, our rule. Where the synagogue leader falls short is not in reaching for the Sabbath. He misses the mark because he's tied to the law, bound by it, rather than bound freely to love. This Sabbath rule of life is a good place to start, but it must serve love. Ultimately, Sabbath is for healing and liberation. Jesus knows this. Because he keeps Sabbath himself, he also knows that it's deeper than just not working for a time. It's about hearing and responding. Setting enough time apart that we can listen to God. Sabbath is giving thanks as our downbeat, sitting and listening and praying, all often enough that, like my friend, we too are propelled into action. We pause, that we may be sent into the action of protecting and healing as a people, as a way of life.